Welcome to Queens of the North.
It's H-E-A-R here, bitches.
Sorry for yelling.
Did you yell?
I think I did.
Oh.
What a horrible way to start off the podcast. Welcome. All right, well, I'm Johnny.
I'm Tyler.
And we are here to talk about Canada's Drag Race.
Yes, we are.
We are going to be going episode through episode for this inaugural season, talking about our thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and just highlighting the creativity from each episode.
That's the plan.
Yeah, that's the hope. That's the dream. We're not looking to get negative on here.
We're not, because here's the tea. We are not drag queens. We are not drag experts. We are drag fans.
Yeah, exactly. And we're artists, and like, we both kind of done stuff between like fine art, theater, film, all that kind of shit. So we always have our thoughts and feelings about things. Plus, we co-host a podcast called That's Spooky.
That's right.
Where each week we talk about everything that makes you go, ooh, that's spooky, from the world of true crime, cults, strange phenomenon. You know, like, it could be a baby flying a plane through the Bermuda Triangle, as long as it falls within the categories of spooky gay bullshit, and of course gay encompassing the whole LGBTQIA2+ community. We'll do it. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, and I'd say about a quarter of what we cover on that spooky is usually queer adjacent. It usually involves queer people or queer stories in some way.
Yeah, totally. So hopefully that gives a little bit of background to anybody who may have never heard of our show before and is just tuning in for a Canada's Drag Race recap, who might be going, who are these homos?
Uh-huh.
Who do they think they are?
Who are these homos, and why are they so unusual?
And why are they in my phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, answer to those questions later. And look, at the end of the day, if you want our resumes, we will be handing them out after today's performance, but you have to buy a headshot.
Yes.
Thank you. Plus, I'm pretty sure Manella and Latrice are doing a podcast about Canada's Drag Race.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Boyer Chapman is doing a podcast about Canada's Drag Race, which is like the official one. So if you really want like the scoop and all that, you go there. If you want homos on the internet having fun,
you come to the right place.
Fumbling over their words and slurping around. Yeah, you've got it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. And we're Canadian. I forgot to mention that, too.
Oh, yeah. We live in Toronto.
Look, we're going to translate for you. That is also kind of why we're here. This is like global outreach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we live in Toronto, but we're both from Nova Scotia originally.
Yeah, different parts of Nova Scotia. I'm from the Annapolis Valley.
And I'm from Cape Breton, which is like the separatist island of Nova Scotia.
Yeah, you're our Quebec.
Yeah.
If you want to look at it that
exactly.
way. And yeah, so if anything, we can help shine a light on some of the nuance and
yeah.
some of the references that come up in here. Because damn, they filled this episode with that.
It's chock full of Canadiana.
And I'm chock full of desire to talk about these queens.
Well, let's do it, because we've got a lot to get through, because as you said, this is episode one and we are meeting all of these queens for the very first time.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Like we said, each week we are going to talk about the show. We probably won't go like through every micro moment of it, you know, like we'll give our thoughts again. We'll highlight the things that we thought were like really fun and really creative. And instead of going like fully negative, we might offer up some ways to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
But at no point do we want to like feed into that bullshit culture.
Yeah, this isn't a reading challenge.
No,
you know what I
no.
mean?
And I'm not equipped for it.
Right.
So let's get into it. Episode one, it's all introductions.
Yes.
Now, we first land in the workroom. We've shot some mirrors. We have like gold moose horns,
mm-hmm.
red paillettes on the wall, like
yeah.
a big maple leaf around the door.
Definitely. I was glad to see that the walls were actually walls and not just printed canvas.
Were they?
I think so. I think they are solid walls.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Look at us go.
Right?
Damn. Oh, and then they also had the portraits of the judges on the wall.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which I thought was a nice touch.
That was nice. And then sneaky deaky RuPaul over in the corner.
Yeah, and I love how they kind of like overlaid it with the mesh at first.
Definitely, yeah. RuPaul is kind of like the eye of
the
Saruman
yeah.
in this entire season.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It's just present.
Yeah,
but
she's
not
like
really present.
Big sister just watching out of the corner the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, then we have the queens walking out through the maple leaf into the workroom to greet the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so what a way to put it. Who's first? Priyanka.
It was Priyanka. But we didn't know that because she came
know.
In with a big question mark over her face.
Coming to the stage, International Lady of Mystery, Priyanka.
Yes.
All right. So she comes in. She's basically wearing like the best energy in the room.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that's true.
She was like, I don't know. There's something about Priyanka. I just like really, I just enjoy her.
Definitely. Well, as we learned, Priyanka was a children's television host. And I believe it was on YTV.
Yeah.
Which I remember watching all the time when I was a kid. I think I wasn't watching it when Priyanka was a host. I think I was maybe an adult at that point.
Yeah, same here.
But if you are hosting a kids television network show, you're going to know how to command attention.
I get that. Who was your favorite PJ on YTV, by the way?
Oh, PJ Katie.
Oh, yeah. You were at PJ Katie's farm, kid?
Yes, I loved that. Her.
I like PJ Jazzy Jan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember her rap career?
No. I do remember Sugar, though. I liked Sugar.
I don't remember Sugar.
You don't remember Sugar?
She might be after my time.
No, she wasn't. Sugar was definitely around in your time. Maybe you just weren't watching. But Sugar was, she had the really high-pitched voice. She also voiced, oh my God, I can't remember, but she was the voice of the little pink sailor in Sailor Moon.
Oh, Rini?
Yeah.
Oh. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I don't think I ever interacted with her. Oh,
okay. I remember
shut myself down to the world and became a goth at around the age of 9.
Oh, so, there you go. Yeah. So you would have missed out.
Yeah. No, the moment that I learned that you didn't have to smile to be cool from Posh Spice, it was all downhill from there.
That's it. Yeah. Posh Spice ruined a lot of childhoods.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Priyanka.
Yes.
So she comes in. She's covered in a question mark. She asks, what's my name? Do you love me? To an empty room. She takes off the question mark and she is like wearing a bathing suit with her name just emblazoned across her just body
all over. It's like when you go to those like mixers and everybody has their hello my name is tag on.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. She's got stones on her peas, she's got peas on her ears, she's got peas everywhere. She is reminding you who she is.
Yeah, she will not forget.
Absolutely. And then she basically kind of gets in, she screams and she settles down, and then in walks Alona.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, love, love, love.
I do, yeah. I love them all. Spoiler alert, yeah, we're here. So Alona's on a cell phone, which she throws, and that just triggers Priyanka.
Yeah.
Which I totally get. If I were there too, I'd be like, Diva, you just broke that screen.
Listen, right? Yeah. I mean, the screen was probably already broken.
Well, yeah.
I'm assuming it was a prop phone.
Oh, she pre-broke
it. Plus, they wouldn't let a queen have her real phone on the show, let's face it.
Good call. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, so she comes in. She is from Vancouver, BC. She is a self-described bitch. She has a huge septum ring and she's like draped in ostrich feathers.
Yes.
And everything's like icy blue.
Yes. And from what I understand about Ilana is she's very much a monochromatic queen.
Yeah.
So she will always just feature herself in one color scheme. And I love that.
Oh, I do too. And she has like a nice Marcel wave in her hair with like a pompadour bang. It's kind of poodle-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I'm into 100%. It's like space glamour.
It's very that. Mm-hmm. And she comes in just basically being like, hey, everybody, I'm a bitch. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, and then she sits down and she's like, oh, you're from Toronto? Half your followers are fake, right? Which, as so a fake shady follower from Toronto, I feel represented.
Totally.
So, next, we have Kiara walking in.
Yes.
So, Kiara is from Quebec. She is speaking French straight out the gate. She says, en français, s'il vous plaît.
Yeah, she does.
And she is wearing, like, a very graphic outfit. It is, like, hot. Like opera pink.
Totally. She looks like an X-Men, you know?
Totally. Mm-hmm. But it's this great kind of bitchy power suit moment.
Totally.
And with this like beautiful, like shocking neon blue wig. I love it.
Yeah. And her face paint was real wild.
Yeah.
Like that highlight under the brow was more prominent than the brow. So it gave her this very like, I don't know, wild look.
I'm into it. And she tells us that she's only been in the game for 2 years, but she's like a flipping, dipping, and twirling queen. So I'm excited to see Kiara.
Absolutely. I didn't realize she was only in the game for 2 years. Priyanka was only in the game for 2 years as well.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Damn. It's like daycare with all these babies. I love it. All right. So next into the room. Juice Box.
Listen.
The mother of the House of Box with two X's, not to be confused with Pandora Box.
Right.
All right.
I'm stuck.
I love it. I am instantly in love with Juice Box
from
the entrance. Here's the tea. We've seen Juice Box before around Toronto. Yeah. I've thoroughly enjoyed her entrance look. It was like Victoria's Secret if they weren't transphobic.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very much it, because she did come in looking like a Victoria Street. Oh my God. I was going to say Victoria Street. What the fuck is Victoria
Street? She came in looking like a Victoria Street angel.
Yeah.
Oh, why not? All right. She's got feathers head to toe on those wings.
Yeah.
She says she's sensual. She loves a hair flip. She is giving like a video vixen moment. It's very like, it's very Britney.
It is very Britney. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
this
was my favorite entrance because I just love some vulnerability. And when she got stuck, when her bracelet got stuck on her tights,
yeah,
And she was like helpless for about a good 30 seconds and then just realized, oh, I can just unstick myself.
It was gold.
Wonderful.
It was absolute gold. Give me a queen who can give you a good look and some actual personality from the get-go, mm-hmm. like lovable personality. So yes. Yeah, I'm there. All right. Next, we have Anastasia Anokwe.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I love her.
Oh, fuck yeah. She is from East York. Not originally, though. She's from the Bahamas.
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. And she is a pageant queen, and she is just coming in. She is giving us almost like a leg of mutton sleeve. It's just like a big poof. Uh-huh. It's like a music makes the people come together moment.
It was very that.
And she's got that like flat ironed tangerine dream hair, like Naomi Campbelling down to her ass.
Yes.
Yeah. And she basically tells all of the queens that they can suck on her many accomplishments.
Oh yeah. She had, I can't list them all, but there were like, what, 5 accomplishments, and one she was current reigning, gay something.
I'm sure there are more. She has like a 17-year career, she said. Yeah, like fucking bow down. She is perfection. Mm-hmm. I am excited. I love a pageant queen.
Right, and when a bitch comes in and being like, if you don't know my name, just call me mother.
Yeah.
They are not there to play.
Thank you. Yeah. So that is Anastasia. She also calls herself Starzy.
Yes.
I think that's what her name is put as in the captions. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, as she says, she's a star.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she is. All right, so next walking into the room, we have Lemon.
Yes.
Now, Lemon is originally from Toronto, uh-huh. and now they live in New York.
Yes, she is the pun queen of the season because the amount of Lemon jokes and Lemon puns we had in episode 1 were astounding.
Okay, totally. I invite them to find... Okay, like I'm going to stop myself here. I'm uh-huh. not going to be negative, but first point of criticism, you got Elvira Kurt... Uh-huh. who is one of my favorite stand-up comedians as the producer, director, not producer, but you know what I mean, for the judges.
Yeah.
I think they should give Elvira 3 hours with the judges, give them pens and paper, and say, write down 20 things that Lemons go into, and let's figure out some ways to make some puns around that.
Yeah.
Because they are sitting on gold there.
They really are. Yeah. But so far, all we've been getting was sour.
Yeah.
You know,
Lemon is in the room. That has nothing to do with her entrance, so we're not going to judge her based on that. But
no.
She says she's gorgeous, hilarious, sour as hell. She says she is a dancing queen. She's from a prestigious dance school, I think Alvin Ailey.
Okay.
Into mm-hmm. it. And she is wearing her good, like, lemon yellow cocktail dress with an asymmetric bottom and a statement robe.
That robe was a statement.
Okay, that is a Florence DeLee robe.
Yes.
So they are, like, a known New York designer. They do a lot of the sewing for a lot of the girls on the American version of Drag Race, most notably the Voldemort of season 12. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we can't say her name.
We shall not. Mm-mm. And yeah, I think that robe actually belongs to Jasmine Rice LaBeija.
Oh hey, yeah.
Yeah, so she wore it in. It was a great nod to New York. I loved it. Lemon looked good. It
looked real good. Yeah, of course.
All right, so next in the room, Scarlett Bobo.
Yes.
Another queen that we know from Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited for Scarlett Bobo.
Yes.
Scarlett Bobo is like very much my energy.
Definitely. She came and she has a little edge to her, I think, yeah. which I appreciate.
Yeah, it's like a TV test pattern motorcycle club ensemble.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a little bit paint splattery. She's got that sort of like beach wavy, wet looking hair.
Yeah, totally. Brooklyn does that a lot.
She does.
That kind of like Bob Lang flip to one side. I'm totally into it. It's like highlighter yellow.
Definitely. I mean, not to compare queens because I hate oh, this queen is very much like this queen and this queen's very much like that queen. But Scarlett Bobo does have a very Brooklyn energy to her and her face.
No, I would not say the persona has the energy to
her. Well, no, you're correct.
You're just saying like the face is like similar architecture.
The paint. Yeah.
Totally fair. Okay. Just good that you're making that distinction.
Definitely. But I mean, there's only so many faces in the world, right? Even people on the street look like other people.
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
Yeah.
It's like, look, we've been a couple for 9 years, and we definitely once had a guy in Newfoundland be like, you two brothers have the best beards ever.
Right.
Jesus, I wish I could be such a fucking man. It's like, if only you knew.
And, yeah.
Yeah, but Scarlett Bobo is in. She has been doing 12 years of drag at this point.
Mm-hmm.
She says she is like a hippie wild child punk rock star wrapped up in a bow.
Yes.
Into it.
I can see it.
Yeah, she's like giving us Fashion Joker from the jump. She is giving us like a classic, just like Nina Hagen black liner on the top. Just like basic but effective and graphic.
Yeah, I love a queen with an edge, so she's going to give that to me.
Yeah, and this is also the season of the bondage ring choker because Scarlett is wearing the second one to come into the workroom.
Right.
Yeah, Alona had the first.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm into it.
Yeah, it's a good look.
Look, as a goth of a certain age, it resonates deeply within me.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, next in the room, we have Kine.
Yes. What did we think?
I like Kine. She's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, fuck. She says she gives goddess. She sings. She acts. She dances. She is the dancing diva of the Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, Tri-State area. Or Tri-City area. Sorry, I forgot where I was from for a moment.
Right.
But she is wearing like a two-tone black and white bodysuit with a statement derby hat.
Definitely, and I'm assuming she made it because she said in her talking head that she makes pretty much everything that she wears.
Yeah, and it looks great. I mean, she's wearing a good like little Betty Boop hair with it.
Mm-hmm. I love a black and white contrast moment.
Well, that's the thing. It's simple, it's effective, it's clean, and she, according to her, is the queen that has launched 1,000 Queens.
Right.
She's the Helena Troy of YouTube drag.
Hey!
Hello.
Yeah, but this is a smart look. This was a smart look because, as we know, based on past seasons of the American Drag Races, you don't know what you're in for that first day when you walk in. You might be put into a dunk tank. So you want to wear something that you can get through.
Exactly. She is ready to be set on fire on the first day of Drag Race.
Exactly.
Yeah, and by the way, if you don't know what I mean by the launched 1,000 drag queens, she says that she has a YouTube channel with over 100,000 followers, has a lot of drag tutorials on it, and Kiara is even like, oh, I learned how to style a wig from you.
Right, yeah, Kiara seemed to have learned a lot of things from some of these queens, which we'll talk about, because then she was like, Rita Baga gave me my first show, but we'll get there.
Oh yeah, spoiler alert.
Uh-huh.
All right, so next into the room, Boa.
Yeah.
The bitch on arrival. She is getting abducted by her UFO fascinator that's got the cute fringe.
Uh-huh.
She is wearing her best Beetlejuice green wig and a cow print bathing suit with udders.
Listen, yeah. I love this look, but those udders are disturbing.
You just called them udders.
Oh,
what a
really?
Freudian slip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those udders were disturbing. I think it's the color. Yeah. I honestly think it was the color and maybe the size.
That's fair.
They're like tiny little cow nipples that are brown and yellow.
She's giving you beetle milk.
Yeah.
I don't mean like milk the drag queen. I just mean like it's milk and time.
Yeah, it's like Beetlejuice and a cow.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And she says, and I am what? Constipated. She gives splits, death drops, except JK. None of that.
Right.
Didn't say JK though. Kimora. Anyway, so we love it. We love the UFO fascinator. And Juicebox comments on the fact that Boa has like a little bit of a past.
Yeah.
And they're on like a little bit of an arc. We get into that a little bit later.
We do. But it was very, very vague. And we didn't really see it play out.
You know what? I'm going to say, I kind of clocked it as maybe a comment from the later conversation that they have. Like, I feel like this is an editing moment, but we can kind of shine a light on that a little bit later on.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Put a pin in it.
Anyway, Boa's in. I'm excited about her. And next we have Rita Baga.
Oh, yeah. Rita Baga, the moment she walked into the room, I was like, that is a queen that will take care of me.
Absolutely.
Like, she didn't even have to say anything. I just look at her and I'm like, if I go to a Rita Baga show, I am going to be taken care of.
Absolutely. Okay, well, the thing is, I remember her name. We used to live in Montreal years ago, and I remember Rita Baga's name like being on flyers. And she, like, I'm getting the same thing from you from the moment that she walks in the room. She looks like, it's almost like if Terry Mugler designed the costumes for Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, hey.
Like, she is low-key giving me Hugo Weaving from Priscilla in the face. She actually kind of reminds me of them.
I can
like,
see
in
it.
The movie?
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I love it. She's wearing, like, this highlighter chartreuse wig, and that color is, like, pulled into the hollow, spiky gown with gloves. I'm into it.
Yeah, it's a real look.
Please.
Head to toe, literally. There isn't an inch of her body that is exposed.
No, and she says she's the queen of Montreal. She tells everyone to embrace her thick with 2 C's accent. And I'm ready to. I'd love a hug.
Absolutely.
From that thick accent.
I
was trying to make it to not sound like I was saying like, oh, I want a hug from Rita, but it just made it sound fucking worse. Well, it's committed to tape now.
Well, let's move on, because who do we have next?
Jimbo!
Bitch.
Oh my god. I just hit the desk. I was so excited to talk about Jimbo.
I'm really excited for Jimbo. I just gotta say that right now, right here. Like, I am doubling down on Jimbo. Jimbo is just wackadoodle, and I fucking love it.
Well, yeah, and we're spooky bitches, so this speaks to us because it is like Silly Symphony, but like Abraham Levy design. Like that, it reminds me of Abraham Levy from New York's designs.
Oh, I'm not familiar.
They do a lot of that kind of like stitched together metallic plated armor stuff. Miss Cracker wears a lot of it.
Okay, yeah.
Other queens like that. But it's great. They have this kind of like mouse ears thing going on, the bulb shoulders, the corset, and the dress. They are giving like Kathy with a K, Bruce McCullough voice.
Yes.
The entire time. Yeah, yeah, you want a little bit of Canadiana. Mm-hmm. It's either like Kathy with a K or Flying Pig, because she essentially walks into the room, and, which I it's not a read.
No.
Because it's like a character. Mm-hmm. And she's going, oh my God, oh, it's spinning a circle.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone that does a podcast is going to make a crack at a Jimbo impression, so I'll stop it there.
Absolutely. But I that's a great point that you made, though, because I feel like Jimbo would have folded really well into the cast of Kids in the Hall, because there's just an irreverence to her humor that I just appreciate. It's just, you don't know what to expect, and I like that.
That's fair. They also do kind of give me like a Scott Thompson vibe at a drag.
Bury that.
So yeah, mm-hmm. No, I'm into that. But yeah, Jimbo's there. They're kind of looking like a live puppy teeth illustration.
Sure.
And they meet the other queens, and I think it is Priyanka who says, I'd love to have you at my birthday party performing.
Right. Yeah.
And Jimbo says something about like doing magic, and I'd make my dick disappear.
Right. And could you imagine?
Actually, I would pay good money for that, because I feel like the performance would take 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It would be like the singing asshole scene from Pink Flamingos. Just yes. A bunch of us in the backyard, Jimbo up on a plank dressed like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just being like, I don't know. Oh, what'd I do with it? Oh, I made it into a mushroom. Okay. Oh,
yeah.
It hit me in the head. You know?
Like, exactly.
Yeah, I'd be so here for it.
Uh-huh.
Please, how much does that performance cost?
Right? I want to know, because my birthday's coming up in a couple months.
October 19th.
Yes.
Save the date. All right. So that's Jimbo. Now we have the final queen to walk into the workroom.
The final queen. The queen.
I'm excited about this queen.
Yes.
This is a queen that we know from Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say we know these queens from Toronto, we don't know any of these people personally.
No. We know of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've been to the shows. We've seen them dip and turn and all that kind of stuff. We love it. So anyway, the next queen to walk in the room, Tainomi Banks.
Yes. Thoughts? I'm really excited. I mean, Tainomi Banks is just an iconic queen, just like an excellent drag queen.
Absolutely.
In every sense of the word.
And she tells us that she is giving like a mix of like Tyra and Naomi. She is giving attitude neck.
Oh my God, that attitude neck. And that sweater with that attitude neck was a lot of what I wanted.
That's the thing about Tainomi. It's just like, it's no bullshit. That's what I just appreciate about having her on my TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even care if that was a complete sentence. You know what I fucking meant. She is covered in like this bodysuit that has like AB crystals on it. She's got this beautiful ginger high pony, and like Alicia Cuthbert, take note, because that's how you do a high pony.
That's right.
That is the volume required to do a high pony.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she is just great. She is, as Mayhem Miller would say, the queen of the party.
She really is. She's the queen of the party, arguably the queen of the North. I think maybe she is, above all of the other queens, and maybe this is just my own lens, the most well-known queen on this season.
I would say, yeah. And like, she's a queen's queen, because a lot of the other queens who have been talking about Drag Race Canada have shouted out Tainomi.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Like, I once worked on a movie that she was on, actually just like last summer. I was the only thing standing between her and being side-lit. That is homophobic, just so you know.
Yeah.
Everything came to the front after that. But
Yeah, you do not sidelight a drag queen.
You don't.
Unless you've already got twice as many lights already shining at them face on.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the tea. Tainomi is a queen that works. She is a queen that is known. And she is the crown jewel on top of the queens that have walked into the workroom.
That's it, because that is all 12 queens.
Oh my God, and by the way, don't have this as me like putting her at a higher status. I just mean that she was like the cherry on top. She was the final piece of the puzzle.
Right, well, in her words, they save the best for the last.
Yeah. And here I am just searching for a completion metaphor.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, let's just get into it. So the queens assemble in the room. They sniff each other out. And then the RuMail comes.
Right. And it's RuPaul.
And it's, ooh, Canada.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm not mad at.
No, that's fun.
She tells them not to puck it up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And basically she just says, all right, out the gate. The judges walk in the room and Stacey McKenzie is the first to greet them all.
Oh my God. Stacey McKenzie's dress was fucking amazing. Every time she put her hands on her hips, the way that the dress was cut, it just gave her these like loopy cartoon arms.
I loved it. It reminded me of this photo of Peggy Moffitt that I always like stare at on my Pinterest. Stacey McKenzie, just like so cool. She is a model that has been around since the 90s. Mm-hmm. She, you might remember her from America's Next Top Model. I think she was on Project Runway.
I don't know.
She was on Top Model Canada.
Yes.
But here's the tea about Stacey McKenzie. Like, I just love that she is doing all this hosting stuff, especially in Canada, and that she's like back on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Because when she started off her career, like from what I remember, part of her story was that she basically had to move away from Canada because she was told that she was like too, essentially not Caucasian enough for the market.
Right. And that's wild to me.
Yeah. So it's just so cool to see her back in this like judging position, just owning the room,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not compromising. So we love Stacey McKenzie. And then next in the room, we have Brooklyn Heights.
Yes.
Which, I mean, if you're a drag race viewer, kind of needs no introduction.
Absolutely not. We know her. We love her. We saw Brooklyn dip it and do it. When was it? It was during Pride. It was before she was on the season. I didn't know who she was at the time.
No.
And I was like, holy crap, that queen can dance.
You remember the performance. And this is the thing. You know, we can talk about Brooklyn's work on Drag Race all we want, but here's the tea, and this is why she is hosting this show. She's a former Miss Continental. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bitch was a Trocadero fucking ballet dancer.
Yeah.
Like, she has done the work, and she's got the talent. So I'm excited to see Brooklyn there.
And then the third judge we had was Jeffrey Boyer Chapman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And why not? I mean, he has the stamp of approval from RuPaul.
Uh-huh.
He's got a fun personality.
Yeah, he's got about like a dozen dimples and really sparkly eyes.
Well,
so.
Yeah. And I mean, like, look, at the end of the day, we have somebody there that can talk about the fashion. We have somebody there that can talk about the drag. And then we have somebody there that can talk about performance.
Right. And I feel like he also kind of fills the role of like a drag fan in the same way that like Ross Matthews fills that
absolutely
role on Drag Race.
Yeah, he's kind of bringing it from that perspective. And like I was saying before, their like judges director, I learned this from the credits, is Elvira Kurt, who is like a fucking great Canadian comedian. So I got nothing but good things to say about the judges panel on this.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see how things progress as they kind of congeal and, as Chad Michaels would say, galvanize.
Totally, yeah. They do have a very much an equal footing, it seems. Like they're really trying to present that. Like every judge has an equal stance,
yeah,
where it's not like, you know, I think in most people's eyes Brooklyn is the judge,
absolutely,
but that's not how it's being presented.
No, they're a self-described thruple, which yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm here for. So they introduced the first challenge to the queens, and it is a photo shoot challenge,
which I love.
Yeah, same. Like, I'm so glad to go back to this form.
Yeah,
I think they've tried to play with it before, but there's nothing better than starting a season of Drag Race with a photo shoot,
right?
Especially with a giant wind machine.
Absolutely, because it's a little bit silly. You get to see some of their personality shine, and then you get to see how they just look and pose and do it.
Yeah, so this week's photo shoot was in honor of famous white Canadian rapper and reggae artist Snow. And the queen stood upon a mountaintop and had snow blown on them, as well as an industrial fan, while Matt Barnes photographed them.
Right, and the photographs looked really good. Did you have any highlights from the challenge?
First of all, my highlight, Priyanka's photo.
Mm-hmm.
She did something that I call the bird eye, where you lift up one side of your face, you kind of do like a quarter turn, you stare at somebody, but not stare them in the eye, you stare them in the top of the ear, because that's really disarming, and you only do it with one eye, that you like really peek up. So you're kind of looking down at them with one eye. It's like what a bird does to you when they check you out.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that. I loved it.
Yes.
I think my favorites were kind of the queens that just went pure wackadoo with it. Like, I also just loved Jimbo screaming.
Yeah. And Scarlett Bobo, you made a wonderful reference to that.
Oh, the fact that it was the showgirls fountain sex scene. I'm here for it. Thank you for bringing that reference to episode one, Scarlett Bobo.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No, she was giving pure Nomi of the fountain there. And I mean, that is what I'm here for.
Definitely. And then another highlight, although maybe in an embarrassing moment, but I think these things are endearing, was Juicebox took a tippy tumble on her way out after photo shoot. She's a little fallen angel. So here she is. She's got stuck on her garment when she walked into the workroom, and then she fell over after doing the photo shoot challenge. So Juicebox is having a rough day.
I know, but her photo was really good.
It was.
Yeah, no, it was like giving pure seduction. Kind of almost looked like Kim Petras for a moment.
You know what, though? I also have to say, when Lemon was up on that mountain,
yeah,
and the wind machine went, and she had that giant cape. I thought it was going to be a Madonna falling off the stage moment.
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
I was like, how is she going to stay up there with all that flowing fabric?
Oh, it but was such a tense moment. Well, you know what made me tense? When Alona put the ring of her septum, like, through the flagpole.
Oh, my God.
And then it popped off. As somebody that's had their septum pierced and re-pierced a few times, ooh, it kind of made my bum pucker.
Oh, hell yeah.
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 But it was fake. It was a clip-on.
Thankfully.
Oh, look, yeah. No, I'm thanking the piercing gods. Not gods. Satan. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, anything else to say about the photo shoot?
No, other than that, I really, really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. All right. And, yeah, I enjoyed Jimbo's big screaming energy.
Yes.
So, they get back into the workroom, and everybody starts de-dragging, and Jimbo gets asked if they want some boy Yonka.
Right, yeah, because Jimbo was the last person to get out of drag, because they were the last person to go through the photo shoot challenge, so when they were de-dragging, everyone was just sitting there staring at
them. The Unsolved Mysteries theme was playing in the background.
Totally.
And yeah, I think everybody was kind of like, is Jimbo going to have a clown face underneath that?
Uh-huh.
But no!
Right, no. Ooh. No, very not that.
Absolutely not. So, everybody's getting out of drag, and the judges come in and they announce that Kine has won the photo shoot challenge.
Right.
They win $1,000 worth of latex couture from Polymorph.
Ooh.
Yeah, get into it.
That's it. But then we get to get into what the main challenge is going to be all about.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And it's basically they're just giving these like themed Canadian boxes, and it's a sewing challenge,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, design challenge. Yeah. So enter the Canadian Tire pit crew. They come in with a wagon full of, or like a trolley full of boxes. And Kine, because she is the winner of the photo shoot, gets to choose who gets what box.
Right.
We love this. This is a great way to set up stakes on the first day
mm-hmm.
and create drama. So, Kine gets to assign the box to themselves. They choose the Yukon Gold Digger box. Oh, P.S., all the boxes are Canadiana themed.
Not all of them, though. I didn't quite understand how Jock Scraps was Canadiana.
Or Rainbow.
Yeah. But, you know, it was there.
Yeah, it was. So, Kine gets Yukon Gold Digger. Lemon then gets Jock Scraps.
Yes.
Which she is not too excited about.
Uh-uh.
Kine then gives Alona must go. Oh, my God.
Whoa!
Drink that water, Johnny.
Hey.
Yeah, okay. So, that's the only time I'm going to ever fucking do that on here.
Alrighty.
And, so she gets the Muskoka box. And mm-hmm. then Rita Baga gets Quebecois Froid.
Yeah, and I remember we were watching it. It was like, what's Froid?
Cold.
And Johnny was like, cold, you dumb bitch.
No, I didn't say you dumb bitch.
I know.
I swore at you in French, thank you. And then Jimbo gets Rain Blow It Up.
Yes.
Yeah. Priyanka gets Get Fishy, which is like the maritime box.
Mm-hmm.
Boa gets Man of Green Gables, which is the PEI themed box. And I was half expecting to see some red mud coming out of there.
Right.
They should have given her red mud stained fabric like they do with those fucking mud t-shirts.
Right. Diva. Yeah. Some red dirt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Kiara then gets the Like a Prairie box. Tainomi gets Lumberjanes, you know, plaid and denim, of course. Starzy gets Canada Gay, which is like a Canadiana maple leaf.
It's like red Canada and white. Day garb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scarlet gets the Glampede.
Yes.
And Juicebox gets the Much Ruzic video prance.
Uh-huh. Now, what box would you want if you had to get a box?
Whew, I don't know. Maybe like Much Ruzic video prance?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the Maritime one.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, actually. It's like, ooh, I could either do a nod to like my home
mm-hmm.
or Much Music Video Prance. Just seems like you could have a lot of fun with it. Man of Green Gables would have been fun too, though.
You like green.
I do like green.
Yeah, you're really and you love potatoes.
I do.
Yeah, and if you don't know the reference and you're kind of like Much Ruzic Video Prance, essentially, Much Music is like the Canadian equivalent of MTV. They were like our music video television back in the day. They're still kind of around in some iteration, but it kind of really died out around the early 2000s, around the time the VH1 became nothing but reality shows.
Exactly.
So Much Music used to do these video dances where essentially they would have screens and they would play music videos. You get the whole thing. But they would tour them around the country so you could enter for a chance to get a Much video dance in your area.
Mm-hmm.
And to those of us who grew up in rural parts of Canada, this was like a fucking dream. This was like getting calls from Santa calls on YTV at Christmas.
Yes.
Which I didn't realize you had to apply for. And I legitimately spent many a night just hoping.
That you were going to get a call from Stan.
Staring at that lipstick red plastic phone that we had. You can imagine that one.
I can.
From like the 80s. Yeah, just hoping that Santa would call me.
Oh, and he never did. Poor little baby Johnny.
Yeah, but Much Music Video Prance is a Much Music Video Dance, which is essentially just like 90s club wear.
Yeah, it's just coveted. I remember every school wanted to have a Much Music Video Dance. I never got to have one. No. I never got to go to one.
Same. No, uh-huh. They were like a dream for me. But I will say, this category also kind of butts up with what Jeffrey Boyer Chapin referred to once as speaker's corner dancer, but I think he means electric circus dancer.
Yes.
Which was like a late night weekend show that they used to have on Much Music, where at the Much Music studio, they would have like a rave and there would be dancers and lights and music, and yeah, they would have a camera going through it. And it was trying to capture like that whole moment in club land.
Yeah, totally. It was kind of like the pre-drinking show. It played on Friday night. You'd be like at home drinking with your girls before you went out to the bar.
Totally. And then for any of us like kids with insomnia who were not legal or anywhere close to it, that was kind of our way to feel like we were experiencing the 90s club culture that mm-hmm. we were seeing everywhere else.
Right. But listen, so, yeah, Electric Circus, there are clips of it and broadcasts of it on YouTube. So if you want to get a feel for
and
it,
there's nothing more depressing than watching that and going, oh, I thought you were so fucking
it's
cool.
It's a real good time.
I was so intimidated watching Electric Circus. No, mm-hmm. and like, sorry about all these like stop and talk moments, but there are just some Canadian references that we need to talk about.
Sure, yeah.
How else are they going to know about Video and Arcade Top 10 home players?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's very exciting because Canada, yes, we are a big country, but we are a small population. So like, I don't know, I feel like our pop culture is steeped in nostalgia.
Well, yeah, and especially because for so many years we had these broadcast laws where you had to have such a percentage of Canadian content. So there is a lot of Canadian content that has been created that only ever existed in this kind of insular little vacuum.
But the game is changing because here we are, Canada's Drag Race, and it is holding up mm-hmm. to the quality that is RuPaul's Drag Race, which is really exciting.
Absolutely. Now, here's a question for you. If you were to do this challenge, if you, like, let's throw the prefab boxes out of the way.
Okay.
What box would you have loved to see in this challenge?
Oh, that didn't exist?
Yeah.
A poutine box?
Oh, fucking perfect. Because your drag name is Poutina.
I forgot. If I had a drag persona, she would be Poutina.
And
yes,
mine would be Leslie Fist in honor of Canadian diva and icon Leslie Feist.
Uh-huh.
Or Cake Bush.
So would you want a Leslie Feist box?
No, I think I would do like a Blue Nose Ghosts box.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Spooky Maritime box.
Give it to me.
All right. So that is that. The challenge gets doled out to everybody. And then it is just time for people to start constructing their garments.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And they announced that Alicia Cuthbert's going to be there and people are excited.
Right.
Because yes, we all grew up on Popular Mechanics for Kids.
Totally. Now, did we get a walkthrough?
No,
we didn't.
No.
I felt like that segment was a little bit short.
No, because we had to make room for queens doing prop comedy, which is the golden part of these design challenges. When you give queens boxes of shit,
uh-huh.
like you need at least 5 minutes of like Carrot Top tomfoolery.
It's true. We yeah. did get that.
Oh my God. We had Boa saying, what the fuck am I going to do with all these potatoes? We had Lemon trying to figure out sports.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had, and she was like surveying the room, asking if anybody had any idea what was in her box.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, wasn't that when Priyanka offered up that she played European handball?
Right, which is like, girl, what's that?
Well, I think it's like, isn't it like team handball? I remember playing that in gym class.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was surprised that there was no reference to lacrosse, because a lot of people don't know this, but lacrosse is Canada's actual national sport.
Weirdly enough, that's like being like, hey, did you guys know that the golden retriever is our national animal?
I didn't know that. Jake, is it?
No, I'm just saying it's like exactly what you don't expect it to be.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But
fair enough.
Yeah, so there's that. And then basically halfway into day one, Rita Baga is face deep in some cheese curds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a very good move given her the Quebec foie bra box.
That's it.
They gave her the good bra. Yeah.
But here's a fun cheese curd fact that I learned.
Well, sure.
So cheese curds are very much associated with Quebec. You can get them throughout the country, but they're just like really prominent in Quebec, but they're a little bit different because I think there are different rules around like how you can store cheese in Quebec in regards to the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So in Quebec, you get cheese curds and they're like on a countertop. They're not refrigerated. And I think that's really important to the integrity of a cheese curd.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're breaking down walls in terms of cheese handling over there. We should be paying attention to what they're doing on the ground in Quebec with their cheese, thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's that. Rita is loving all of the Quebecois stuff in her box. Mm-hmm. We have that moment of excitement. And then, speaking of cultural identity, we have a really great moment talking to Alona.
Yes.
Where on episode one, we show some very necessary representation. Like, I don't mean that in a kind of tokenizing way. I just mean, like, and you and I had this conversation off the mic, mm-hmm. but I don't think you can talk about drag in Canada and, like, queer people in Canada without addressing, you know, our huge Indigenous community mm-hmm. and, you know, especially queer Indigenous people and the expression of two-spirit individuals like Alona.
That's right, because we are the LGBTQIA2+ community.
Yeah, and you know what? People are, I find sometimes people just don't even recognize the two, or they're like, what's that? Or they kind of throw it on there as a joke, but mm-hmm. like, it's fucking legit. And Alona breaks it down. They do it in a way where I don't think people are looking at her and going like, oh, please teach us everything.
Right.
But they talk about being part of the Shkupa tribe.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to butcher the name that they also said, but the Nikapamu.
Yeah.
It's NLAKA apostrophe PAMUX.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
So basically, Alona talks about, you know, what it is to be a two-spirit individual, how they kind of came upon that arc. And I think that's really cool. And I think it's really great to have the perspective of somebody who, you know, grew up on a res.
Definitely.
And is now doing drag. And, you know, they also have such an interesting story because they say later on that they moved to LA and they've gone through a, you know, journey of personal discovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm really excited to hear more about Alona's experiences. I think we as the audience, though, have to not put that pressure on her to teach us everything we need to know about a culture.
Tea.
But she's creating a doorway for us to access so that we can go out and learn more and educate ourselves.
Totally.
And I appreciate that.
And also, while we're talking about Alona, can I just say I am in envy of Alona's look out of drag.
I know.
Like, just so fucking cool.
Yeah, she's got an aesthetic. It's cute as fuck.
Damn, I know. So, next in the workroom, we focus on Juicebox for a moment, who is cutting up CDs. They've got tapes and CDs and scrunchies in their boxes. A whole bunch of 90s kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you could do a lot with it. I mean, I love anything that reflects light on a runway.
Uh-huh.
And she's doing the logical thing. It's kind of like what they did in season 3 of American Drag Race when, you know, you had two competing queens breaking up Christmas,
with the Christmas
ornaments.
Balls. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, why not?
It's a good thought process.
So she's doing that, and otherwise in the workroom, Kaina's kind of hitting nerves.
Yeah.
Look.
Bit of an instigator.
Yeah, but here's the tea. In defense of Kine, and like, I'm not defending the actions, the words, anything like that. Like, that is a person that's all their own, but they're on the younger side. That's the tea.
Mm-hmm.
And I invite y'all to read The Velvet Rage. It feels very step two. They feel like somebody who is, you know, very confident with who they are, and they're finding ways to express that. They're also finding, or trying to find ways to, I think, assert themselves in the room. And I can kind of relate to it as, like, a young queer person who had a tendency to peacock. Sometimes you just end up sounding braggadocious.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Confidence can quickly become cockiness. And I think that was kind of the lesson that she was told to learn at the end of the episode.
Well, yeah, because, and here's the thing, she's saying things in the room that they're showing. I mean, there's probably a million other things that she said, but what they show us is her saying, you know, oh, I can't help it. I had to give myself the box where I'm going to win. And she's saying kind of condescending things like that. You know what? I don't think she's a bad person, though.
No.
Like, I've been there, and I feel like a lot of us have been there. You think you're being funny, you think you're being shady, and then suddenly you have the realization, and it's a very hard realization, that you're not.
Yeah.
And intention versus impact are two very different things.
Absolutely. So, and this is one episode, so we'll be interested to see where her story arc comes. But again, it's a reality TV show. If you give them a little bit of something, and that's all that they have to work with to, say, fill this quote villain role, then they're going to work with it.
Absolutely. Anyway, so we can kind of put a pin in that for now. We move further through the workroom. We have Priyanka asking Tainomi about her age. She whispers it as if she is going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Lemon talks about, you know, financial difficulties of being a young artist and having to move to New York, and how being on your own like that can make you grow up easily.
Sure.
I think we can relate to that. We moved to Montreal for like a second degree. I was at the National Theater School and not able to work. work. And, you know, we ate a lot of pasta with no sauce for 3 years.
We were very ill prepared for that move, but we survived. Here we are.
But it does make you grow up fast. Yeah. So I get that. But again, I think lemon also has the same thing as kind does at times. They're young and they're trying to assert themselves and they're walking into the room and going, I have this accreditation and I'm a professional this and a professional that.
Sure.
I did the same thing at 21. I was the most professional at everything I did. And then when I became a professional at those things, I became the student again.
Right.
You know, like it's an arc and a lot of us go on it. So yeah, clocking it. And then Alona talks about living in LA, talking about people kind of not recognizing your growth because of your faults from the past. I'm sure we'll see a little bit more of a conversation surrounding that.
Absolutely.
And I should say, like, now at this point, like, I know that we've kind of breezed through working on garments into the next day, working on garments and painting, but it's a kind of homogenous point in the show.
Yeah.
We're getting to the runway here. But before we get there, Boa does talk about their sobriety journey, which is, I think, a very great conversation to also have and to kind of kick off from episode one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Boa talked about her struggle with sobriety and then the effect that that had on her drag shows.
Yeah. And Juicebox asks them about it.
Exactly. And Juicebox says that people just straight up stopped coming to her shows because they wanted to go to see her basically be messy, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah, because Juicebox has also gone on a sobriety journey. So the two of them kind of connected about that, which was a great moment to see.
It was a great moment to see.
I don't know. I just love seeing queer people support queer people. And queer artists support queer art. I don't know. That's kind of my thing about this show. That's kind of why we're being so sunshine and rainbows about it. And why we're trying to just, you know, look at people and go, you know what? We're all human and we all fuck up.
Definitely.
Because at the end of the day, we're here celebrating queer artists on a huge mainstream platform.
Exactly. And also, as we hear from queens time and time again, it's really difficult when you're working in nightlife and you are fighting for your sobriety, because that is not an easy place to be.
No,
because you're surrounded by it constantly, but you're also there to make a paycheck. So it's at a certain point where you have to find that balance of pleasure and business. But I think this was the moment in which, when we were talking before at the beginning of the episode, when Boa came in and we had the talking head of Juicebox saying that Boa was a little bit messy and a little bit annoying. Yeah. They were probably, as you were saying, referencing
that moment
of like that journey towards sobriety.
Yeah, so that's kind of what it felt like to me. So maybe we should just get into the runway.
Let's do it. What did we think?
All right, well, Alicia Cuthbert comes out and she introduces it. They kind of do this reversal where it's not a guest judge for the week, but a guest host.
Right, I feel like they're trying to take a note from Saturday Night Live where they have a celebrity come on and they introduce the show and they sign the show off and they're kind of the talking head of the episode.
Yeah, I will say, as a viewer, it is a little bit jarring to all of a sudden be in a different host's hands, and they're kind of speaking to the hosts as if they are guests on the show.
Right.
But again, I feel like Drag Race is finding their footing. I mean, if you look back to the American series, for the first two seasons, every time Rue wanted the girls back on stage, it was a journey.
Definitely.
It was like, bring my girls back out here so I can speak to them about fashion.
Totally.
Yeah.
But this is also entirely my own opinion and my own suspicions, is that they didn't want to push Brooklyn too hard into the role of RuPaul.
Good call.
Because those are some big shoes to fill, and you're constantly going to be compared to that. So by weighing out the responsibilities or divvying out the responsibilities that way, no one is carrying that responsibility.
Absolutely. So yeah, then we have Alicia Cuthbert introduce them, and it's cool. I mean, I'll be interested to see if they keep doing this throughout the season. And as we said before, Alicia Cuthbert is wearing the only phony tail. So, first on the runway, Anastasia Anokwe.
Yeah, what did we think? I personally was really impressed with that cape, because I didn't realize this until you pointed it out, but that puffy coat, that wasn't there. She constructed that out of the fabric.
Oh, absolutely. She created a puffer coat. Like, I think Roots might be calling her up to be like, can you send us the pattern?
Uh-huh.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she came out with that and like a red bob. There was like a swimsuit underneath that was the same fabric, kind of pulling that storyline in there. I don't know, I was into it.
Definitely. And I saw a lot of the stuff that she had in her box, so she curated it well, because she had like Cat in the Hat style Canada Day hats.
Look,
it could have gotten real kitschy real fast.
Real and dollar I think story, yeah.
Considering that the theme is Canada, she did a really good job at elevating that aesthetic.
Oh yeah, it was like intergalactic Mary J. Blige. for Canada Day.
Thank you.
I love it. All right. So next on the runway, Kiara.
Yeah.
She is giving us a scarecrow.
Yes, a scarecrow moment. I think this was maybe my favorite look of the night because it was a little bit spooky. And yeah. I like that.
Oh, totally. Yeah, she is giving you like full scarecrow face and paint, like the lips of somebody who smokes 4 packs a day. She is giving you rainbow dreads, which I love.
Totally. Yeah. And I didn't notice it on my initial watch, but I noticed it on rewatch. I liked how she used some of the flowers as like little pasties for her nipples.
Oh, yeah. No, Kiara does really good looks.
Yeah.
Next on stage, Lemon.
Initially, I really liked this. Like, I was into it. I was vibing with it. The colors were good. I thought the places in which she chose to put the neon mesh was good. I thought it was well curated, and I appreciated the performance as well, because the whole time she was like, I don't know anything about sports, and she really leaned into that, and it was entertaining.
Yeah, well, and I feel like she also kind of gave, like, anime sports, which I'm not mad at.
Sure.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I look at this in summer 2020, and I get everything that the judges said about it, but I feel like if this were a year ahead, they'd probably be going, oh, I've got Stupid Love vibes from that.
Definitely.
Because Lady Gaga is doing this more kind of DIY thing now. Like, I'm like, look, Tyler and I are not Gaga stans or anything like that. But I mean, like, call a spade a spade.
Definitely. You know,
it reminds me of those looks.
Yeah, it's very Mad Max, Apocalypse.
And throwing, like, a monochromatic wig on it. Uh-huh. Yeah.
A bit ahead of its time, maybe.
Yeah, why not? But you know what? The critique is all valid. We are not looking at this being like, she should have won. It was ahead of its time.
No. But I mean, like, we're being very complimentary at the same time.
Why the fuck not? So at the end of the day, that's cool. Now we got Alona.
Yes.
I almost said Lemon again. So Alona is coming out with, again, I love this like pastel orange hair.
Mm-hmm.
She has given us like a heather gray bodycon dress
with
a swooping front.
Got that Morticia Adams silhouette.
Absolutely. She's got pasties on that match. She is giving me like a soft Halloween sea witch.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
So she definitely did the prompt of the challenge, which was like, take the box and funnel it through your lens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't necessarily scream Muskoka.
No,
you know,
but what does scream Muskoka?
I mean, Muskoka is like, I don't want to say cottage country, but it's kind of that vibe. It's like, you know, she probably had a lot of hunter stuff, a lot of very pragmatic garments. So
right.
I don't know. I kind of look at it and it's like, I get it. And I appreciate what she did.
Mm-hmm. I really liked it.
Absolutely. And then after Alona, we have Kine, who is giving us evil stepsister of a solid gold dancer.
Uh-huh.
She is, look, I actually really liked it when I first saw it.
Yeah.
I love that silhouette. I love some big hair. I love a disco bodysuit.
Uh-huh. And then she walked. Obviously, it's very difficult to walk with 2 hoops filled with balls dangling around your ankles, and it showed.
To bring another Showgirls reference into it, she was shedding her costume over the stage and creating a little bit of a tripping hazard.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, like, I see where she was going with it, and honestly, like, I won't lie, I didn't see it as the bottom look.
I didn't see it as the bottom look, and I mean, it wasn't the bottom look,
no.
But it wasn't the top look either.
No.
But I guess, I mean, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Boa was one that I was surprised to see it in the top.
Mm-hmm.
Safe, maybe? Top? I don't know.
Well, that's the thing about Couture. Sometimes you love it, sometimes you hate it, and there's a thin line between the two.
Now, speaking of Couture, we had Jimbo next on the runway.
Oh my God, she's given us tiny hats. She's given us like a French Renaissance silhouette. Almost, it's kind of like Dresden Dolls did a pride show.
It is very that. To me, it looked like a box of crayons melted with your mom's jewelry in it.
Yeah, and like, look, I feel like if this were the American show, they'd probably go like, oh, the waist is a little bit low, and the garment looks a little bit heavy, and I feel like you could have done more with the wig. But this is Canada's Drag Race, and I feel like this speaks, because this was a top look this week, like, spoiler alert, but this speaks to how we do drag in Canada and kind of what defines us, where it's like, we are not a place where we have everything at our fingertips. Like, as somebody who grew up on the East Coast, you know, Hot Topic was a wish and a dream.
Oh, yeah,
it was never a reality to me. So, you know, we've got to kind of make do with what we can access, and the culture around, you know, clubbing outside of, you know, some of the city centers just isn't the same. And there's not necessarily the same drag economy in Canada that there is in the US. Mm-hmm. There is, you know, a crossover between the two sometimes, but, you know, we just do it different. So I feel like on Drag Race Canada, they are applauding the queens in a way that they are saying, I see what you're doing. And you executed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there might be like one or two things that I could pick out, but we're not going to talk about that.
Sure.
Like, it's a cool idea.
Yeah, definitely. And plus, this is also a design challenge. So not everybody is going to be able to pull off a gourmand in the way that a designer would be able to. So we have to keep that in mind.
Absolutely. And she has given us full rainbows. It's effective. Low-key, she reminds me of Floyd, the New York drag queen. If history lesson, they were a queen that moved to New York from Atlanta with RuPaul and Lady Bunny. They were in the RuPaul Christmas Ball, like 90s Christmas special. They had the green mohawk and like the tiny brows. They're also a painter. They're still around to this day. But yeah, like I kind of get a Floyd vibe from Jimbo, and I feel like that's why I'm cool with this look. Into I really it. Like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, next we had Tynomi Banks.
Yeah.
And she had kind of that lumberjane aesthetic to it. And I have to say, I wasn't wowed by this look. There's a lot of fabric covering fabric.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. I love the obnoxious sock accessory
yeah.
that she had.
Oh my god, yeah, no, the sock puppet.
Yeah.
I was into it. I mean, I like the colors. I love denim and red plaid going together like that, especially with the gray of the socks. I think the hair worked, and I like the wood chip fascinator.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Sure.
All right, that's Tynomi. Now we have Boa.
Yes, okay, so Boa, as I said, for me, not the strongest look, but kind of to echo the sentiment that you had before, I don't think it was necessarily about the look. It was more about the presentation, and she served it.
There was a detail everywhere. She constructed that corset, and it fit her right. She was giving us Peg Bundy as Miss Potato Field 2020.
Uh-huh.
She is like the only wacky aunt of Sailor Jupiter. I am here for it.
Absolutely, yeah. And she was just a lot of fun the runway.
And I think Brooklyn gave us a good Anna Green Gables reference in this moment, where she said that's what happens when you put makeup on Marilla, like on Marilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of an Anna Green Gables deep cut for y'all there.
There you go.
Anyway, so that is Boa. It is fun. Also, not to compare to Drag Race, but it kind of actually made me think of Victoria Porkchop Parker's outfit on episode 1 of Drag Race. Just the hair color and the green and the silhouette. That's what took me there. It's not exactly the same thing because she did not have a bucket and trowel with cookie crumbs. Thank mm-hmm. you.
But here's the thing. I appreciate some straw hat titties.
And oh, I do too. And some potatoes. Like it was like a potato headband?
A potato necklace, I believe.
Oh, there were potatoes
everywhere. There were potatoes everywhere, I'm pretty sure.
Potatoes across the board.
Yes.
All right. And then next on stage, we have Juice Box.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, I'm going to say right now, I appreciated that they gave her a whip crack sound effect when she came out on that stage with that ponytail.
Listen, that ponytail was very like front and center for this entire runway.
Mm-hmm. So they did her the whip crack. And like, here's the thing. I'm going to defend this. I didn't hate this outfit.
Sure.
I looked at it and I think it could have benefited from a spiky hem. It would have read a little bit more Flintstones like she was hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there were a few cues like that she could have taken it to make it really scream what she wanted. But, you know, like we all fumble. We all, you know, are on our arcs of learning how to create a garment, and it's a pressure cooker. So I get it. Like I'm seriously just offering this up to counter what the judges are saying, like maybe a way to kind of get it closer to what they would want it. But like fundamentally, I think that this outfit could work.
It could.
It just needs a few more zhuzhy details. I think a little bit more length in the skirt would help because that would allow you to cut up and then you could have that kind of semblance of a really high hem with the spike.
Uh-huh.
And it would read a little bit more Wilma or Pebbles Flintstone.
Yes. And I don't know if that was, I just don't know if the Flintstone, if that was the reference, if that reference was pushed far enough for it to read as that without being told that's what it is.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess I could accept it. 90s club, it can kind of be anything. And you know what? She is giving you Gwen Stefani hair.
It's true.
Yeah, she is walking in the spider webs with that shit. And if it weren't problematic, I'm sure she'd be wearing a bindi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next on stage, we have Priyanka.
Mm-hmm.
Priyanka is giving us crabs on her shoes. She is giving us a nautical fantasy.
Yeah, she's got some netting on her hip, just swaying.
The turn keeps getting thrown around, but it's almost like that pop star silhouette. It's very like bathing suit with like a little bit of a wrap. It's like early 2000s Britney in that way, mm-hmm. but it's definitely screaming Maritimes in like the fabrics.
And I appreciate how she recovered from her outfit falling apart
yeah.
when the shrimp fell onto the stage and she just decided to eat it.
It was a crab leg.
Oh, that's what it was.
Sucked the meat out of that fucker, I'll tell ya.
I love it.
We were proud of her as Maritimers.
Yes.
And that was the day that Nova Scotia saluted a drag queen. Anyway, so much love to Priyanka. It was a fun outfit. Next on stage and our final queen on the runway, we have Rita Baga.
Yes.
Who is giving you the only cold shoulder look.
It's true.
Oh, well, underneath that cape. Oh my God, how could I forget about that cape?
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I would say I liked this look a lot. Like, the cape was really amazing. It was a little underwhelming when the cape went away. I just kind of wanted the cape to stay there the whole time. But she compensated that by bringing some humor into the presentation.
But she gave you winter at the club. She said, this is my look for walking into the club from the Uber. This is how I look when I drop the coat on my way up to the stage to host the show. Thank you.
Yeah, okay,
you
know? Yeah.
And like, at the same time, like, I'm not going to say it every episode, but I do get some Priscilla Queen of the Desert vibe from her with like the headpiece. Like, the hair doesn't have to be hair. That's what I love about drag.
Yes.
And she has given us pom-pom heels. She is bringing her own special effects by dribbling snow everywhere. It works.
It does.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it. Yeah. And I love a cheese curd.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. She's eating cheese curds on the runway.
Yes.
Thank you. Like, this is Drag Race fucking Canada. So, tops of the week. Rita, Boa, Jimbo.
Mm-hmm.
Bottoms, Lemon, Juice Box, Kine.
Yes.
Thoughts?
Again, I was surprised by Boa, if I'm looking at it as just like a look. But again, I think she presented it really well. She was very entertaining, and I think that's what kind of nudged her into the top. I don't disagree.
No, I don't either. I mean, I can totally see it all. So I think it was even-handed, and the judges critique them. Kine got a little bit sharp.
Uh-huh.
Again, I'm not here to say, like, everything that everyone does is perfect and that, you know, nobody has bad behavior every now and then. But I'm just going to say I can understand being insecure and getting a bit snippy and thinking that you are being, like, you are standing deep within the house of you.
Sure.
But you're actually coming off as super defensive. It doesn't make it right. It makes it a learning moment. And I think Kine's getting that learning moment. And just to say, like, I feel like I'm saying so much of this because I've been seeing the fucking hate she's getting online.
It's a lot.
It's bullshit.
Uh-huh. But she's been handling it well. There was a video of her playing Billie Eilish's Bad Guy on the flute.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, but anyway, so fuck off with leaving those queens negative comments. If you want to leave any of these queens any negative comments or any of these hosts or any of this shit, take that comment and leave it on Shane Dawson's profile.
Yeah.
As Sinead O'Connor said, fight the real fucking enemy.
That's it. Or take that rage and use it to advocate for the arrest of Breonna Taylor's murderers.
Fucking like, right.
Let's
yeah.
take that energy and rage that we feel towards whatever a drag queen did on a reality TV show and let's put it into positive action.
Yeah, to quote Tatiana, think that, feel that, and then... So, she didn't finish the sentence.
Okay, yeah. All
right, so, Kine has that moment. Mm-hmm. Juicebox has a panic attack.
I know.
Which, oh, fuck, my heart goes out to her.
Listen, anybody could be in that position. Like, it's really easy for us sitting on this couch being like, oh, I would have just done this. Oh, I would have just done that. But, like, we're doing that. We don't have, like, giant studio lights around us and about 15 cameras in our face.
I'm looking at a makeup palette right here. Like, we've got makeup. We've got brushes. We've got stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Drag is fucking hard.
Oh, bitch. Hell yeah. It's yeah. hard and it's time consuming.
Like, I have been trying to learn how to just do a fun cut crease and I still look like a pig in a fucking wig.
Uh-huh.
And it's been months.
Yeah.
Like, what these people are doing is fucking artistry. So, yeah, at
Absolutely.
The end of the day, like, my heart goes out to any of these people. And especially, like, she's standing there. It's, like, the first episode, the first series in the country. You know that it's a show that everyone around the world watches.
Mm-hmm.
And you're stumbling. And Juicebox is also a queen from Toronto who is booked.
Yeah.
You know? And she's loved. So, I'm sure she also feels the pressure in her head where she's like, fuck, people are probably expecting me to do so well.
Right.
And yeah, like, I totally feel for her. By the way, holy fuck, we forgot about Scarlett Bobo.
Did we forget about Scarlett Bobo?
Let's back this up for a moment.
Oh, okay. My God.
So, Scarlett Bobo on the runway. This was actually I think my favorite look of the week.
Yes, okay.
How fucking dare we?
Oh, honey, we are in trouble.
We are, yeah.
Okay, no. So thoughts,
the Bobo hive is going to come for us.
The Bobo hive's coming.
All right, so Scarlett Bobo on the runway, giving glam-peed bandana crop top. She's giving cow print pants. She is giving another real good kind of wavy, wet-looking cropped hair.
Yes.
I loved it.
Yep, okay. I felt like the I mean, she said she didn't sew. So I felt like she had a bit of a diaper moment going on, but she had so much around the diaper moment that it didn't really matter.
Oh, yeah, because it was chaps, not pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, too? I feel like one or two people have commented on chaps not working, and now suddenly every fucking homo on the internet, which we are one of, so we can say this, mm-hmm. but everyone suddenly is like, oh my God, chaps are horrible. They never fucking work. And it's like, who are...
Since when did we
decide the chaps don't work?
It's like, how many... Okay, like... For anybody who's saying chaps don't work, how many likes on Instagram do you have of fucking, like, people in jock straps? Like, come on, you just...
Yeah, fuck off. And, like, my question is, how good were your last set of chaps that you sewed by hand?
Hey.
Like, tea. So, yeah, uh-huh. No, Scarlett Bobo, she was my favorite on the runway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so, back to the judging.
All right, back to the judging. We talked about Kine. We talked about Juice Box.
We did. And Rita Baga wins.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, which is great. Oh, no, but that's not until after, because then they have a little Untucked moment.
Oh, yeah. I like when they integrated into the show.
I know. So, they go up back. And this is where Kine just starts spilling the tea on what Boa does in the bedroom. She's just like, she's a top.
Oh, yeah. Kine got real wild. And then, I mean, Boa met her at her level.
Yeah. I also feel like there was a moment of like, Diva, we're making TV. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. I feel like the opening of Man, I Feel Like a Woman played. You got that guitar riff and let's go, girls.
Uh-huh.
So they had that moment. It was good drag queen TV. I think my only takeaway from that is I hope Boa doesn't feel less than as a result.
I don't think so.
No.
I think they are fully centered in the house of Boa.
I think so too, the bitch on arrival. And then Starzy basically lays it down where she says it doesn't matter what you get in your box if you don't have a character on stage.
Right, exactly. Which again is what I think they were really looking for on the runway. They wanted you to sell the garment no matter if you were wearing something that didn't necessarily look really good. Because even then Brooklyn Heights was like, I saw that and I was like, why do I like this? I shouldn't like this.
Absolutely.
So it was very that.
Yeah. So then we have that happening. We go back to the judges. They are deliberating about the queens. Jeffrey Boyer Chapman talks about social media queens when talking about Kai. That is a conversation I'm fucking tired of having.
Yeah.
Look, like... Here's the tea. It's like y'all are forgetting that, like, just to look at the New York club scene as a microcosm and that whole drag moment, since everybody can kind of use that as a touchstone.
Yeah.
You had performance queens. You had look queens. Have you ever watched a Leigh Bowery performance?
Right.
It wasn't the most polished thing in the world,
no.
Honey. Yeah. No, it was a little bit clunky. He had great ideas and great looks. But, like, even outside of that, like, there's just whatever.
Right.
Like, some queens are more strong with their looks. Some queens are more strong on a mic. Some queens are more strong on a stage. As long as they're not racist, I'm cool.
Totally. And we've gotten to a point where we've accepted drag as an art form, and there are a lot of different types of artists out there. You have sculptors, you have painters, you have dancers.
We have frackers. Yeah, I mean, like, look, and she doesn't even paint her own face. So,
listen.
T.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, according to her social media, she doesn't do anything anymore.
Right. But anyway, that's a whole other bag of kittens,
well,
honey.
I don't know. Maybe she's inspired by Orville Peck. She started wearing face masks, and her profile picture looks very country western.
Sure.
So, that's that. The judging continues on. They talk about how they didn't think juice boxes was effective. They ask Stacy and the rest of the judges if they still use CDs. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And JBC wanted to crawl into Rita Baga's igloo like Luke Skywalker in the second Star Wars movie.
Oh.
You remember when he crawled inside of that ice
you know
creature?
What? Every time, I've probably only seen the second Star Wars movie once.
Yeah.
Because every time I sit down to do a Star Wars marathon over the years, I watch the first one and I'm like, that's enough.
It actually is. You know what? If you want the experience, listen to the podcast Newcomers. But yeah, aside from that, that was my bone to throw for the straights. Now, the queens come back on the runway.
Yes.
Rita wins.
Yes, she does. And then we have the bottom, which we find out is Juice Box. and Lemon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, Rita wins $5,000 worth of gear from Roots.
Right. Like, how many things with beavers on it do you need?
Oh my God, how many sweaters that say Roots can one person have?
Did you know that Roots, when I went to Australia, I was with a bunch of other Canadians, mm-hmm. and Roots has a very different connotation in Australia. Roots basically is like slang for fucking
Damn.
In Australia.
Okay, can I also just say, as a kid who grew up in the Nova Scotian school system in a small town, I got very confused when I learned about the band Roots, the television show Roots, and the brand Roots, and how they had nothing to do with each other, really.
You thought they were all the same thing.
I had no idea. It's that small town shit where you're like, everybody knows how good our apples taste, and it's like, nobody fucking knows outside of a 30-kilometer radius.
Right. Yeah, all right. Absolutely.
Although, actually, I'm from the apple capital of Canada. Anyway, so we'll move on.
Yeah.
So the anyway, bottoms are announced.
Yeah.
Kine gets saved and she sighs a giant sigh of relief. But they do not let her leave the stage without giving her a moment to say, like, look, cool your britches.
Yeah. And then she drops a bunch of balls. She crawls all over the stage trying to catch them. But eventually she does it. And she's off the stage. She's standing in the back.
And then we have our lip sync. So it is Juicebox versus Lemon. They engage in mortal combat.
Mm-hmm.
Juicebox comes to the table with, I think we counted, 23 hair flips.
There were 23 hair flips.
Tyler counted. Uh-huh. He watched the lip sync once just to count the hair flips.
Yes, there were a lot of them. Because I remember the first time watching it and be like, I feel like there's a lot of hair flips.
Yeah.
There's a lot of turns and just like whipping of that ponytail. Or sorry, whipping of that shake and go wig. That's not a shake and go wig.
I rebuke the Jeffrey Boyer Chapman. That is not. He also said that she looked like a speaker's corner dancer.
Right.
So it's tea. That is no shade. I see you trying. I really see the wheel turning. So props to you for that. Uh-huh. But it's not a shake and go, huh?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's a little too styled. But anyway, so that's the thing. She whips that hair back and forth. The song is Carly Rae Jepsen's I Really Like You.
I really, 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 really like you.
Oh my gosh. Uh-huh. Yeah, she is serious, people. And I mean, it's a great song. It's kind of got that like chugging along, dancing on my own, Robin kind
sure,
of.
Sure,
like,
yeah. Carly Rae is kind of like the modern answer to Tiffany. Like, she's the closest thing we have to mall pop.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then she gives us that good old prominent snare drum beat, which is kind of what brings the ponytail whips out.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's a good one. Lemon is doing anything she can in her corset. I am a little bit surprised that we didn't see a little bit more dance school coming out.
Sure. But maybe, like you said, we don't know what kind of dance she studied.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, she could have done jazz tap for all we fucking know. I mean, like, I was in like a show once where this opera singer dude had to sing What About Love by heart. And he couldn't do it. He was an amazing technical singer, but he just couldn't hit the feeling of it. Like, rock and classical can be two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that can apply to dance.
Yeah.
It's like, just because you have like one style in your body or a few, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to hit this song.
Totally. So all of that to say, I personally do think that Juicebox did a better job at the lip sync, but maybe her outfit just wasn't enough to sort of propel her into being safe.
That's fair. Yeah. No, I think that is what happened, which is unfortunate because mm-hmm. essentially the lip sync is over. The judges do the ceremonial passing of the note in study hall.
Oh my God. Them all. Listen, yeah. Like yeah. they really want us to know that the judges have equal footing. So we have the footage of them very somberly handing these pink sparkly envelopes for Brooklyn to read.
I'm amazed that they didn't do it all in one voice, like an improv challenge where they're like, yeah. hello.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Or like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen from Clone High.
Just like that. Uh-huh. Yeah. They connect almost like a Megazord in Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as one being, they announce the winner of the challenge or of the lip sync. And that is Lemon. So Lemon gets to die another day.
Uh-huh.
And Juicebox has to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Juicebox basically gets told that even though you didn't bring home the Canadian bacon, you will forever be our Canadian pork chop.
Which is wonderful. I Absolutely. Think that's very sweet.
Yeah. No, it's a nice little send-off, and Juicebox sends a nice little goodbye to the queen. She says, later, cunts, or something like that.
Something like that.
She even addresses them as cunts on the mirror message. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like a playful, it's like how you call your grandma a cunt. You know?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they have that, and then it is just, do they let the music play?
They do let the music play. They dance to some RuPaul song. I can't remember what one. Yeah. Oh, you okay. wear it well, I think.
Okay. Uh-huh. I get that.
But anyway, yeah. That was it. And then we get to learn about what's coming up next week.
Yeah.
Which is the Heritage Moments.
Oh, I'm so excited for that. So if you don't know, Canadian Heritage Minutes were these like 1 minute things that would run during commercial breaks on Canadian television. They were moments from our history. They were reenactments. And there are just some iconic ones. Like, I think so many of us have grown up with a steady diet of Heritage Minutes. Listen, so if you walk into any room with Canadians and you say like, both of you know I cannot read a word.
Uh-huh.
Or we have to keep our Irish names.
Dr. Penfield, I smell burnt toast.
Oh, the uh-huh. Just start slamming your hand on the table.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. Or walk up to a diagram of the sexual reproductive system and rip off the leaf and go, is this normal?
But I need these baskets back.
Yeah, listen, there are so many. And if you're not familiar with them, if you're in another country and you have never seen them, go and YouTube them. You will be prepared and you will live.
Absolutely.
Because, yes, they're iconic.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see that challenge. That is what I want to see on Drag Race. But I feel like that can maybe tie us into how we want to wrap this up.
Right.
Which is our high points and low points, which, I mean, because this was an introductory episode, I feel like our high points and our low points this week may not be stuff that specifically came out of the episode, but stuff that we just want to address about Canada's Drag Race in general. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of correct?
Sure.
I feel like we're on the same page.
Uh-huh.
All right. So let's do this. Tyler, what were your high points and what were your low points?
All right. Well, my high point was absolutely Juicebox's entrance into the workroom. It was just, I loved it. It was comedy. It was pure comedy gold. Like, I could have watched Juicebox stand there for 5 minutes just saying that she was stuck over and over and over and over again until she realized she could use her other hand to unstuck herself.
Absolutely.
How about you? What was your high point?
I would say that my high point is the fact that we finally got a conversation about two-spirit identities on a drag show.
Yes.
Yeah. And hopefully it is the first of many that we have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would say that that's definitely my high point so far, just being able to see some of the representation that they're bringing to the table. Even though, I think this can maybe tie into our low points, there are some gaps in representation so far in Canada's Drag Race that we've noticed.
Well, actually, yeah, because that is my low point. My low point is there isn't a full representation coast to coast, even though they are trying to sell that there is a full representation coast to coast.
They keep saying from the east to the west, and that's not the case, Diva.
Right. I mean, Montreal's a little bit east, but there's a whole lot of country and about 4 other provinces east of Montreal.
Yeah, and I would say that, like, as people that grew up in, you know, those provinces, it's a bit of a bone of contention when people treat Canada like it stops at Quebec, because it truly doesn't.
No.
Yeah, so I would definitely agree with you, because there are a ton of queens on the East Coast that are great, and some legendary queens out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and, like, we can name it Rouge Fatale.
Uh-huh.
El Noir.
El Noir, yes. Yeah,
Pheromone.
Listen.
The original Pheromone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eureka.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, fuck, Atlanta, Canada also has some good ass drag kings, including our friend Felix Static.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No. And I would say one of my favorite drag performances I ever saw pre-Drag Race was a drag king at Reflections, the old Reflections in Halifax, doing a Freddie Mercury with the little shorty mic.
Oh, yeah.
Doing We Will Rock You. It changed the way I saw drag. So, yeah, there's so much good shit that happens on the East Coast. And I feel like we got a lot of Toronto queens.
Totally. We did. I mean, they really made a good job and making them sound like they're from different parts of Ontario.
Yeah, they did.
But hey, listen. But I don't know. I think that is more glaring, though, because our country doesn't have a lot of provinces. It only has 9 provinces and 3 territories. So when one of those places is left out, we really notice it. Because I don't think there was anybody from the prairies either.
No.
I don't think there was anybody from Alberta or Saskatchewan or Manitoba. There was nobody from the Yukon. There was nobody from Northwest Territories. Yeah, or none of it.
There was none of it. Yeah. So
there was none of it.
Tired joke, by the way, for those of you who aren't Canadian and didn't know.
Totally.
But yeah, I would totally agree with you. I would say that that is kind of my low point of the episode.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. Like that and Juicebox going home.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But listen, this is season 1. Hopefully there'll be season 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Who knows?
Yeah, please. There's room for everyone. So that's the thing. And it's not the queen's fault. They didn't choose the casting. But if anything, I don't think anybody's listening. But if they are, I challenge you for season 2 to find some queens from the Maritimes.
Yes.
And Newfoundland. land.
Hey, and why not some Kings? Can we? This is Canada's drag race. We should be able to set our own rules.
Fucking right. Yeah, let's do that. They're not looking. They're not listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's off deleting his Instagram. So that's it. That is episode one of Queens of the North.
Woo! This one was good. It was a little bit long, but we had a lot to get through because we had so much ground to cover.
Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now we're just having a three-car pileup with our voices.
I know, right?
Yeah. I don't even know who the third is.
Yeah.
It's a ghost. Know.
It's Cher, our sound technician.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, Cher. No problem, stupid.
Yeah.
Just shut this shit down soon so I can get a Dr. Pepper. You fuck. All right. So with that being said, go support Juicebox on her social media. Mm-hmm. You can find her on Instagram. You can find her on Twitter. She has got, I'm sure she has digital drag shows coming up. She's gone but not forgotten.
That's it. It's a tricky time for drag performers because their main ticket to a paycheck is basically not there.
Yeah. So like find a fucking way. If you need, like reach out to these queens and say, hey, do you have a PayPal link? Because uh-huh. we're in Canada. We don't have Venmo.
No.
We don't have Cash App. We can't sign up for that shit.
That's it.
So you got to get creative with these queens.
Absolutely.
These queens fucking deserve it.
Yes, tip your queens.
Absolutely. So yeah, go support Juicebox and show her some love. So my name is Johnny. If you want to follow me on Instagram, I am at Pansy Twist, just like the Huggy Bear song. Or you can find me on Twitter at Johnny Can. I just brought that back from the dead.
And you can follow me. I am Tyler. I'm on Instagram. I'm at T_ties.
It looks like TDs.
It looks like TDs. That's why the underscore is there to make the difference. But it's spelled TEE_TYS. And I'm on Instagram and I'm on Twitter.
Yeah. And you can also listen to our podcast, That's Spooky. It's in the same feed that you are listening to this show in. We do an episode every Wednesday. We also have the Secret Society That Doesn't Suck, which is our Patreon where you can support us and everything that we do. We post mini episodes on there. We have streams and a whole bunch of really cool shit. And you can follow That's Spooky on Instagram or Twitter at That's Spooky Pod. That's TheatsSpookyPod. And that's kind of like the official Queens of the North Instagram.
Yeah, you'll find the Queens of the North in the That Spooky feed on all your podcast platforms.
Yeah, you should probably already know that, though.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, who knows? Maybe this will get its own feed after this season. If people really like this, maybe we can do Canada's a Drag. You know, we can do Drag Race Canada Season 2. Who knows?
You never know.
The world is our oyster.
Uh-huh.
And the shell is slowly closing. So we're gonna go. We'll talk to you soon. As we always say on the other show, we love you very much. Kissy kiss. Because who doesn't love to end the show with getting a kiss?
Right.
And as we always like to say, if you're going to be a bitch,
be a spooky bitch.
But I guess in this case, if you're going to be a bitch, be a frosty bitch.
Yes.
We'll workshop it.
Brr.
It's a secret. Notice how we didn't make any jokes about saying like a boot or any of that shit?
Uh-huh.
Because we are not that show.
We're not those kind of girls.
And that shit's tired, diva.